Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we got another crazy Missoula story to talk about here today. We were talking about a crazy Missoula story, I think, a couple of days ago, and we got another crazy one for you today. Sharp metal objects found embedded in tires in Missoula. On September 18th, the Missoula Police Department announced that they had received multiple reports of sharp metal objects being found embedded in vehicle tires. One recent report involved a victim who discovered the object lodged in their tire, brought the vehicle to a local tire repair shop, but apparently there are now several. There are multiple reports being received. Now, my question is, because we don't know from this story that we've got on our Montana Talks website or the information being released by local authorities at this point, is, was this just some disgusting vandalism that was taking place in Missoula, or is this a politically oriented attack? Because you remember, I've got two headlines in front of me here. You might remember this news from about a year or so ago. Foxnews.com in June of 2023, a far-left international group that encourages groups of people to deflate tires on parked SUVs in an effort to combat global warming, expanded their operations to 18 different countries. So you've got these far-left activist eco-terrorist groups that deliberately, you know, try to attack vehicles as part of their climate alarmist agenda. And so is that part of this international movement? Remember, they were even slashing the tires of Tesla electric vehicles over in Europe as well, because they see all vehicles, whether EV or not, as a threat. And so, with Missoula being, you know, the epicenter of environmental extremist activity in Montana, is that what is going on here? That is the question I am asking. But credit to our friend David Noble at LectureFan, at LCTRFan via X for first sharing this story with me yesterday. Yeah, we'll talk about that and more later on in the hour. We'll get to your phone calls coming up later this hour of the show, 406-294-0970. But first up, coming up right after the break, speaking of Missoula, her opponent is a far-left Democrat lawmaker from Missoula. That's who she is running against. Susie Hedlund, the Republican candidate for Office of Public Instruction, just popped into our Montana Talk studios. So we'll chat with her right after this quick break. I just went down, and as I was refilling my cup of coffee, I stopped in and saw Mark and Paul down the hall. They got a chance to catch up with her earlier. I said, hey, what'd you think of Susie? They're like, oh, she is awesome. I will second that remark. If you haven't heard from her yet, wait till you hear from Susie Hedlund right after this, kicking off this Friday's Montana Talks.
This is where Montana Talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, Susie Hedlund, great to see you back in our Montana Talk studios. Thanks for dropping in.
Thank you for having me this morning, Aaron. It's always nice to be here.
Yeah, yesterday, the Breakfast Flake said, hey, Susie Hedlund's dropping by tomorrow. What do you know about her? And so I said basically what folks in Livingston were saying a couple weeks ago is that, hey, she's worked her way. Well, I said, hey, she's great. She started in Grass Range. And oh, by the way, her husband's the number four walleye fisherman in Montana. And they're like, oh, well, that's it. What else do you need to know? So I followed up with them. What do you guys think? And they're like, And Paul Mushaven said, I like the fact that she worked her way all the way up through the system, you know, all the way up through the school system. You started in Grass Range, but now you're still actively working in our public schools. You are the school superintendent in Townsend, Montana. And so you're in the classrooms one day and then back campaigning that same night. And so, but the other thing is your opponent is basically a far-left activist out of Missoula, Montana. So there is quite a contrast in this race.
Absolutely. My experience definitely sets me apart. I started, you know, as a teacher with the Helena School District and got my first administrative job, like you said, in Grass Range. And I've been a teacher, a principal, and a superintendent in our smallest to our largest schools across Montana. I've also supported our schools on, you know, our Indian reservations and learned a lot about Native American studies and make sure that we support those efforts. But what really sets me apart is that I have that experience at every level and in every size of school across Montana, unlike my opponent who has not worked in our K-12 schools across Montana.
You know, I was looking, there was an Associated Press story here, and our friend Paul had written about this in a story that I put on our Montana Talks website as well, but it says data from over 40 states shows chronic absenteeism is still far above pre-pandemic levels. So there's the issue of chronic absenteeism in our schools. There's low, you know, math and other test scores that are still low. We know that pretty much every kid in America was set back, set behind because of all that COVID-19 nonsense. But what's interesting to me about that data, and this is something Paul pointed out as well, is that are all kids set behind because of, you know, these lockdowns and these mandates that were forced down our throats in the COVID era? Yes. But actually, kids in red states like Montana, our kids are actually doing better than kids in the blue states. So it still shows that philosophy and overall principles still matter. And in fact, even more so matter in something like a public school job.
Exactly. So that's one of the reasons why local control is so important and understanding our schools and how unique they are across the state. During that mask mandate, you know, we worked hard to put a policy in place in Townsend, in our school district. My school board's amazing, that didn't have such insane restrictions. We had the school open and the kids in class as much as possible. And so I think that was really helpful. We were able to put that policy in place that fit our community. And I think that made a big difference.
And it took a fight in order to do the right thing. It took a fight to do the common sense thing. I was looking back at some of my old news stories and commentary pieces and tweets from 2020. And we had to fight the media. We had to fight, you know, the then governor at the time and a lot of these left-wing activists just to have basic freedoms in Montana.
Absolutely. And another thing that I think is very important about the absenteeism is that we have to make sure our school's relevant and meaningful to our students today. So that's why I'm really excited about the opportunities we have to push the CTE and the trades and the high schools and the experience, the hands-on experience and the pre-apprenticeships for our students in those pathways so that it's engaging. They're not sitting behind a desk all day. They want to be working and being part of our community and being part of our industries and getting that experience and giving back. So, you know, the CNA pathways, having students working in the hospitals, vet techs, having students, you know, working in as plumbers and electricians and getting a head start in their careers while they're in high school is really important.
Yeah, I got to go to an open house at the Career Center in Billings last night, and because we've got our oldest son is full-time at the Career Center, so I got to go to his automotive engine class, and I got to go to his, you know, electrician class, and they're going to be wiring a house that the students are building. They're going to be, you know, and in the automotive area, you're like, okay, here's several automotive engines that they'll be working on. Here's small engines they'll be working on. And it's just cool to see hands-on stuff like this. And you can just see how the kids light up when they can actually get their hands on and get out of a desk and actually do something.
And get an actual credential. They can put on their resume, an industry-recognized credential in welding or an ASC certification in mechanics, like you're saying. That's critical so that we have students ready to enter the workforce and in areas that they're interested in that will support Montana.
How will you manage this this OPI bureaucracy, because you've seen it, and there are some entrenched special interests or political operatives that have stayed in that Office of Public Instruction that will push back against whoever the superintendent is. And so how will you deal with that bureaucracy that will resist any change to try to improve things in our school system?
It is critical to have a team of experts in every facet of OPI. OPI does so many things, and that's what I think is really important about me being a superintendent and being in that position, is because I run a transportation program, I run a school nutrition program, I, you know, have a budget with all of those multiple funding streams. And so in each one of those sectors, in special education, we need to have a team of experts at OPI, and we need to make sure they're on board to make a difference to improve student outcomes.
Hey, if you've got a quick question or a comment, the best part of the show is when we take your phone calls. But if you've got a quick question for Susie Hedlund, give us a call right now, 406-294-0970, and we'll start with those calls right after this. And then after that, we'll open up the phones for anything you want to talk about here on a little bit of Open Lines Friday here on Montana Talks.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a few more minutes here with Susie Hedlund, Republican candidate for superintendent of public instruction across the great state of Montana. Yeah, call right now if you've got a quick question or a comment. But then here in a couple of minutes, we'll open up the phone lines for anything else you want to talk about. Susie, we were talking a little bit during the break. What a clear contrast here in this race. And this race obviously is not getting as much attention as, you know, we've got, you know, the biggest U.S. Senate race in the country. So that's taking up a lot of the attention. You've got the presidential race getting a lot of attention. And then, of course, the very important Supreme Court elections here in Montana. So some of these other statewide offices just aren't getting that much media attention. But basically, it's, you know, give us a list of just some of the organizations and the people that are endorsing you, because your opponent, I know, is being endorsed by the far left groups like Planned Parenthood. And why does that matter? Well, I remember a few years ago when they were pushing radical, you know, sex education in schools for like little kids, for like 8-year-old kids. Planned Parenthood was behind that. And they're trying to push this radical, you know, transgender agenda. They're trying to push this sex ed on little children agenda. So that's why they want to regain control of the Office of Public Instruction, so that they can push all this stuff on your kids all across the state of Montana. But as a contrast, talk about some of the folks that are backing you.
Thank you so much for that opportunity, Aaron. The contrast is clear. I am being supported by organizations that see that I'm making a difference, and I am a partner in supporting opportunities for students and outcomes. So that's why I'm endorsed by the Montana Contractors Association, the Montana Building Industry Association, and others, because we are working together to get students out in the field and get experience in the trades and careers. And, you know, all of these incredible groups like Build Montana that you have here. So I am excited that, you know, I am working with these groups, and I'm supported and endorsed by the contractors and the builders, because we are working together to make a positive outcome for students, and rather than just a political activist organization.
Yeah. How can folks get a hold of you if they haven't gotten a chance to meet you yet? I know you're going to be in Columbus tomorrow, I think, for the Lincoln-Reagan dinner there. You're going to be in Dillon the week after that. But how can folks get a hold of you if they haven't gotten a chance to see you in person yet?
SusieForSchools.com. You can visit my website there. You can also visit my Facebook page, and I look forward to a chance to visit or talk with anyone. So please visit us, and I look forward to a chance to get across the state. I'm, you know, working at school, left at noon yesterday, and I'm traveling for the weekend, and I'll be doing that for the next couple of weekends and getting out to see our folks across Montana and talk about how important this seat is, how important education is. This race is important because, number one, we're talking about our future. future children of Montana. And also, I do have a seat on the land board if I'm honored to be elected, and that is very important to make sure we maximize revenues for education.
All right. Well, Susie Hedlin, great to see you. Thanks again for dropping into our Montana Talk studios.
Thank you.
All right. Phone lines are open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app right now as well. Let me first go to, let me get to that story in just a second here, the story about the sharp metal objects found embedded in tires in Missoula. This is a story that I shared on our Montana Talks website earlier this week, but it ties in with this education discussion that we just had right now. This is a good news story. You know, it's a little rare sometimes that you hear good news stories out there in the news. But this is why, to me, this was a good news story. We just talked about trades education, and more kids are choosing trades education because they're realizing, hey, not every kid needs to go get a 4-year liberal arts degree. In fact, sometimes you may not even need to get a degree, period. You can just start working in the trades right away and making money. Well, Amy Lynn Nelson, she is a Highline, Montana native. She is one of the great photographers at the Billings Gazette. You know, I'll oftentimes criticize the left-wing editorials or sometimes news content from the Billings Gazette, but they got great photographers like Larry Mayer and Amy Lynn Nelson. She shared a really cool story here recently. She said this. She says, "This summer, I reached a milestone. I paid off my student loans. I paid off just under $30,000 in 11 months entirely with freelance photography income." She says, "I want to give a heartfelt thank you to everyone who supported me along the way, especially everyone who supported my small photography business." Anyway, she just talked about how joyful it was to pay off, to work, and to pay off her own student loans. She told me in another message here, "After getting settled into home ownership in the spring of 2023, I got serious about the idea of paying off my student loans as quickly as possible." She says, "When the Supreme Court came out and said that they had struck down the loan forgiveness," you remember the loan forgiveness at the federal level that Biden was pushing, she says, "I had just made my first real payment because it solidified the idea that you cannot rely on the government for financial forgiveness. So the process of me paying off my loans was 11 months from start to finish." She says, "I watched nearly every Dave Ramsey video for motivation and adopted the snowball approach. I started by knocking out my smallest loan first, which was $450, then went up from there." But anyway, what I think is great about this story is the fact that not only, you know, in a world now where it seems like too many young people want you to pay off their loans. They want the guy who decided to become a plumber or an electrician to pay off their student loans for them instead. No, instead, with everybody out there looking for somebody else to pay their bills, looking for somebody else to pay off their student loans for them, I just thought this was a cool story and worth commending. But also, like, you know, in a way you think about it, like, in a way, it's almost crazy that paying off your debts is a story these days. Because paying off your debts is just something that we as Montanans and Americans have always been expected to do. It's just what we've always done, barring extreme circumstances, of course. I remember back in 2022 when this student loan forgiveness debate was blowing up, and Joe Biden and crew were trying to take your money and make you pay for somebody else's loan, and how outraged a lot of us were. And I shared one simple line on Facebook at the time. I shared one line that said, "I paid off my student loans in Afghanistan." And that one simple sentence on Facebook ended up getting 500,000 impressions in just the first few days alone. And man, you should have seen how triggered some people got over that one. I just simply said that I paid off my student loans in Afghanistan, and all these leftists were just getting triggered, and then I think it started getting shared far and wide. Because, see, they want you to pay for them. They want you to pay for their student loans. They want you to pay for the fact that they sat in college somewhere underwater basket weaving for 9 years, growing their man beard with their, or their, growing their fluffy beard with their man bun so they could be the TA that looks down on you in your college class. And they wanted you to pay for their student loans. They want the guy that became a plumber or an electrician and didn't acquire all that debt, that didn't get somebody else to pay for his tool set, to pay for your student loans. Anyway, I got a kick out of that story, so check that one out, MontanaTalks.com. The story out of Missoula, sharp metal objects found embedded in tires. Now, we don't know who the culprit is with this story. Is it just random acts of vandalism, or was this a political activism by a political message being sent by the climate activist environmental wacko groups? I think that's the real question that a lot of us have right here, because so you've got, you know, several reports now of sharp metal objects being found embedded in vehicle tires in Missoula. And I think a lot of people are wondering, was this done by one of these environmental activists? Because Missoula is, of course, you know, the epicenter of environmental activists and the wackos. In fact, the funniest thing I saw all morning, I mentioned I shared this story on our Montana Talks website, and the funniest response I saw all morning, you know, came from Tim in Billings. He messaged us on the Montana Talks app, and he raised the question, was Tracy Stone Manning back in Zootown recently? Because you remember Tracy Stone Manning, who is in charge of the Bureau of Land Management. She was connected to that eco-terrorism tree spiking case back in Missoula in the 1990s. And these types of metal objects, if you look at the photograph, are the same types of metal objects that have been used by the very same eco-terrorist groups involved with tree spiking incidents. So anyway, that was a funny message from maybe a not so funny message from Tim in Billings. We've got Steve in Bozeman on the phone lines. Steve, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Aaron, thank you. Hey, I just was gonna say, you know, part of the reason why a college degree is valuable is because you have to figure out how to pay for it. Whether that's, you know, you got to manage your class, you got to figure out, you know, if you can work a shift somewhere in between classes and at night, and like you said, you know, going to Afghanistan, all those experiences to push you to get that done is what makes it valuable.
That's right. It's not just the achievement itself. It's the battle to win that achievement, right? It's the fight itself that is great. And it's a big part of that accomplishment.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Montana weather on full display this week as the Montana Angus Tour was held in central Montana. From 4 inches of rain on Wednesday to sunny and 70 on Thursday, tour participants saw a lot of country. And in addition to visiting well-known Angus operations, the tour also introduced participants to ranch families who are new to the registered side of the business, but like the Mickelson Ranch in Hobson, have spent many years building up a successful commercial Angus herd. Kinsey Mickelson Mosier shared her appreciation for folks stopping by the family operation.
It's been amazing to see how interested everybody is. That was a big benefit for us, is just trying to get our name out. We're little commercial producers and we're trying to get into this Angus world. We've only been having a formal sale for about 7 years, so our registered cattle have to produce with our commercial cattle. We want them docile because we have to calve them in the winter. They have to be good moms to raise these calves up, and they have to wean and make it to the truck in the fall. So that's our main focus on our registered and commercial side of things.
Over 400 attendees were on the tour this week, from 30 states and 7 countries from around the globe. To see more of the tour, just visit Lane Northland Ag Broadcaster on Facebook. I'm Lane Northland. Are you
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide? This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Uh-oh, she let it slip. Kamala Harris let it slip. She got a little too comfortable with Oprah Winfrey yesterday, is what it sounds like here. Let me see. Let me go back into this Fox News Radio affiliate website here. So Kamala Harris, she taped a segment. She did an interview with Oprah yesterday. You know, Sean Puff Daddy Combs, a good buddy, Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, that's who Kamala Harris was with yesterday. Okay, Vice President Kamala Harris joining Oprah Winfrey in the Unite for America 2024 live stream with an audience in studio. And Vice President Kamala Harris says she has a practical approach to dealing with gun violence. She has a practical approach to dealing with gun violence. Now, you remember, Kamala Harris is already on tape. She's already documented to be very anti-Second Amendment, to be against your gun rights. She has already advocated mandatory buyback programs, which is basically where they would come in and confiscate your firearms. But with Oprah Winfrey yesterday, she reiterates. See, she for the last 60 days since she was installed as the Democrat, not elected, since she was installed as the Democrat presidential candidate, not elected by the people, of course, installed by political elites to be their party nominee, she is trying to fake the funk. She is pretending to be a moderate now. I know in 60 days, she has turned into John Tester, where, yeah, you might be anti-gun, you might be open borders, but you got to fake it to try to make it. So you have to pretend to be a moderate. So Kamala Harris is doing what John Tester has been doing, what Monica Tranel is now doing in the Western Congressional District, pretending to be moderate, pretending to be pro-Second Amendment. Listen to part of what she told Oprah Winfrey yesterday.
Some people have been pushing a really false choice to suggest you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, and I'm in favor of assault weapons bans, universal background checks, red flag laws.
There you go. So she says, I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, and then admits that she wants to come in and take away the most popular firearm in America. And so she definitely let that one slip, because she that's one of the things she's been trying not to say, that her campaign has been trying to get her not to say. That's why she hasn't done a press conference in 60 days. That's why she hasn't done a real serious legitimate news interview in those 60 days either. But she let it slip with Oprah Winfrey yesterday. Did you hear about the other thing that she let slip? She let it slip that she was asked, well, you know, when it comes to violence, she said if somebody broke into her home, she would shoot them. If somebody broke into her home, she would just straight up shoot them right there, just like that. That one is getting folks' attention as well. I got an email from Chris in Billings earlier this morning. He calls this Kamala's let them eat cake moment. He said this fool brags about her gun and how she will use it while on stage with Oprah, and at the same time, she says she will take yours away. Dictators do this on day one. Charmaine in Helena, next up on the phone lines here. Charmaine, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for all of your great coverage. I love to listen to you every day.
You're too kind. Thank you.
Topic is, I just heard that our city fathers are considering discussing a grant to build an underpass at the North Montana Avenue Railroad crossing, which is probably a good thing because we are really having a traffic jam in that area. However, I had to laugh because that crossing was discussed in the early 70s when there were folks on the board at that time, City County Planning Board, and talking about getting a crossing there, either over or underpass, and Burlington Northern at the time considered that they would, if I recall, half the cost for that. But our city fathers had no vision. They said, oh, there's no valley traffic. The valley traffic is just minimal. Well, now it's like you're back-to-back from one street to another. So if this grant is approved, it will take them from that time an estimated 5 years to complete that project.
Wow.
So we got a long ways to go before they fix that problem. Oh, so I thought I had to laugh because I heard this so many times, people complaining about that railroad crossing on North Montana and Helena. It is backed up bumper to bumper like your city traffic from block to block.
Why does it take so long to build infrastructure in America anymore, right? Like, why does it take so long to build anything anymore? It's just so crazy. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, water for the High Line. And, you know, the High Line is high and dry right now because of, you know, failed politicians like John Tester in Washington, D.C. But yet our own State Department is paying for a play in Macedonia. This blasphemous play in Macedonia where they make God bisexual and describe communists as good. I mean, our taxpayer dollars are funding this garbage in Europe. And then in Guatemala, our State Department is paying for sex change operations. So-called...
Even here.
But yeah, but it's like, oh, but yeah, sorry, Highline. Yeah, maybe a year from now, maybe then you'll have the water. Oh, you know, and oh, hey, sorry, veterans, but no, we're going to give the illegals the housing instead. It's just a mockery of this country that is taking place right now. Charmaine, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I was going to get to Steve in Lavina next, but we lost Steve. Hey, Steve, call right back. Call back in, and we'll get you on because I want to hear what you have to say. Travis tells me that Steve wanted to say something about homeowners insurance increases. Homeowners insurance increases. So I definitely want to hear what Steve and Lavina has to say on that front. We've been talking about guns and how Kamala openly admitted once again yesterday that she wants to take your guns away. We got some good news when it comes to guns. Well, at least for one of our radio listeners across Montana right now, I got a special request from Frank in Malta at KMMR. He says, hey, can you read this on your show? It's a local gun drawing from the Malta Athletic Club's 30 gun drawing. And the winner today, we get to announce this on Montana Talks. How cool is this? The winner today is Carson Sand. Carson Sand, Frank at KMMR tells us that you are the winner of the 30-gun drawing from the Malta Athletic Club. So congrats to Carson Sand. That's pretty fun to be able to announce that here on the show. Let's see. Speaking of guns, Pearl Jam. You guys know the 90s band Pearl Jam. Maybe you got your flannel shirts on right now. Pearl Jam is attacking gun owners and the Second Amendment as well, which is no surprise because Pearl Jam was just in Missoula, Montana, doing a fundraiser for their favorite liberal buddy, John Tester. And remember, John Tester has an F rating from the NRA. Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy has an A rating from the National Rifle Association. So there's a stark contrast when it comes to gun rights between the two of them. I had this story right in front of me. Where did I put it? That's all right. I'll just go to MontanaTalks.com right now and pull it up for you here. But Pearl Jam, less than, what, a month after doing their big fundraiser concert for Flip Flop Flat Top in Missoula, they've now, you know, come out with some very controversial anti-gun remarks, and they're mocking Ted Nugent. You know, Ted Nugent is a rocker who supports your gun rights, who supports your freedoms. Pearl Jam is a left-wing rock band that supports John Tester and does not support your gun rights. KC published this on our Montana Talks website. Pearl Jam, they're continuing their politically charged Dark Matter tour that they kicked off in Missoula. And listen to what they're saying about guns. At Pearl Jam's recent performance in Maryland, the band covered Ted Nugent's song, Stranglehold. Eddie Vedder changed the lyrics of the song to say this instead. Never had a gun, never own a gun, never buy a gun. So big surprise that the anti-gun Pearl Jam would be raising money for the anti-gun senator, John Tester. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, we'll start with your phone calls. And we've got the lines open for you right now, if you call right now.
Attention. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That was a Seiko guy who won that gun drawing from the Malta Athletic Club. You know, the Seiko guy is probably like, thanks for telling the whole world that I won the gun. Now Kamala Harris is going to know that I got it. Thanks a lot. You can always tell her you lost it in a boating accident. And so, you know, that's if you need to cover your back for that one down the road when they come to take your guns away. But for now, you've got it, if you can keep it. All right, let's see. I got a few other messages that came in here. Let's see. Oh, Pete in Glasgow, Montana, listening in. I mentioned homeowner's insurance. He said, my homeowner's insurance doubled. And then he added this. Ooh, feels like I got P. Diddy'd. Ouch. Yeah. And we know that inflation is also what is driving up the homeowners and insurance hikes as well. Let's see. Stacy in Glendive. Hey, I just heard you and Susie Hedlund on the radio. Great job. Lots of talk about the trades. Ironically, today is National Tradesman Day. How cool is that? Back into the phone lines we go. Let's see. We've got Sean in Libby next up. Sean, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. 2 points. First of all, here's the advertisement by Tester. First one I ever heard was that he had a lady on there saying she was in the military exposed to sarin gas. Now, either Tester knows something that we don't, because we were told for years that there was no weapons of mass destruction. Point number two, Harris, when she claimed that she owns a gun, that's the first thing you don't do. You don't advertise nationally or internationally the fact that you own a gun. It's a deterrent. A gun is a deterrent. And you don't advertise you have a gun. So now everyone knows she has a gun. So anybody who wants to harm her is going to make an amendment to that, and is going to make adjustments to that.
Well, she says if somebody breaks into her house, she'll just shoot them right on the spot. I wonder if she lived in Missoula, if she would do that to a German exchange student.
Well, yes, but the fact is, a gun owner doesn't advertise the fact they own a gun. Yeah, that's it. That's
not everybody. Some people open carry and are proud to do so, and yeah, I don't know. Either way, you do you, right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sean, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. I'm hoping to be in Libby soon here, too. Just talking with, our listener, Fawn, about doing an event from Eureka. And it's like, well, hey, we should go to Libby, too. So hopefully we'll get a chance to see you in person one of these days. Tracy and Kalispell next up. Tracy, what's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You talked about how come it takes so long to do building.
Yeah, build anything,
my husband,
right?
My husband and I helped our builders and got our house built in 3 months, hands down.
Wow.
And that they're dragging it out for extra money and extra time, so they don't have to. And then another thing is this, we got a call last night for a, what do you call it, one of the surveys. And they, every question they asked about Zinke was downgrading him. And then when they asked questions about Monica Tranel, they were all good things about what she did. And my husband says, wait a minute, this is political and you're not asking fair questions. And she
goes, yeah, it was a push-pull. That's what's referred to as a push-pull. They make it sound like they're surveying you, but in reality, they're trying to push you into their supporting their far-left candidate. By the way, Monica Tranel, she is flip-flopping just like Tester and Kamala Harris. She is on camera saying that, oh, the border's not the reason we have all this fentanyl in Montana. Well, now she's flip-flopped on that because she's desperate to try to win this November, too.
Yep. Exactly. Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, thank you, Tracy. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Richard in Jordan. Richard, what's on your mind?
Good morning, sir. I'm just wondering, who is Dean DeRussy? I think I'm pronouncing that correct.
Oh, he's a far-left activist Democrat lawyer in Billings. Yeah, Dean DeRussy or something like that, right?
Yeah. I was just saying that I looked him up, and it said that he was some kind of special investigator for Attorney General and all of that. And I was just wondering why an attorney is putting up partisan billboards here on 24th and Grand. I'm looking at the billboard right now. I was just, why is there an attorney here that has actually been appointed by what I can only assume is the Attorney General?
Well, I think that might be an old story because I know a previous attorney general would pay the guy with your taxpayer dollars. I think Steve Bullock did that in particular. It was a way for him to, you know, it was just like what's happening in D.C. right now. They take your money and they give it to their buddies. And Gene Gerussi is one of these liberal lawyers that Democrat politicians would give your taxpayer dollars to.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. It still doesn't make me feel comfortable if there's attorneys putting up partisan billboards like the one I'm looking at here.
Well, but, I mean, they should have First Amendment rights just like you and I. Unfortunately, if a lawyer were to criticize a judge or a justice, they would try to go after them, which I think lawyers should be able to criticize these leftist judges and justices here is my personal opinion.
Sure. I agree with you, sir. All right, thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to ask. I saw the name and was curious.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's I don't know too much about the guy, but I know that. By the way, a listener in Columbia Falls must have jumped in late on the conversation about these sharp metal objects found embedded in tires in Missoula, because a listener in Columbia Falls messaged us on the Montana Talks app. Was Tracy Stone Manning in Missoula by any chance? So apparently everybody has the same response to that story out of Missoula.